The one who is mighty and powerful, the one who is glorious above all. Oh Lord, we want to declare that everything that takes place in this room today is in your name, for your honor, your glory, and your fame, because we love you. Because we are grateful for all you have done for us. Because you alone are worthy. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. And our desire is that you feel entirely welcome and at home to do whatever it is you purpose, both in the service as a whole, upstairs in Kids Church, and Lord, in the lives of our baptismal candidates today. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Please take a seat. Thank you, team. What could possibly go wrong, I hear you ask. Excellent. That was seamless. Okay, I only have a very short time available this morning. So we're going to look just briefly at a passage that kind of encapsulates the decision that our wonderful baptismal candidates are going to cheer. The decision that our candidates have made today, and also kind of enlightens the path that stretches ahead of them. I'm just going to check out where they all are sitting because I'm talking to you. And you, of course. Sorry. So I'm going to dive straight in. This passage is from Matthew chapter 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount, which, if you remember, was probably the largest and the strongest body of teaching that Jesus ever gave when he was here on the earth. And he said this most of the way through, really strong and striking verses. Matthew 7 verse 13, and I'm reading from the Amplified version, because why use 10 words when you could use 30, I always say. Said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss, and there are many who enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. You see, I've chosen as a title for this very short message, Choosing the Narrow Way. But you know, everyone on planet Earth is trying to find their way. And there are multitudes heading in all sorts of directions. There are numerous agendas and priorities and goals and lifestyles. There are countless diverse world religions. Of course, we live in a subjective age. You know, what right do you have to tell me that your way is the right one? Or indeed, is better than mine? Surely there are many ways to find fulfillment. Ultimately, aren't there many roads that lead to God? Do you know what? That is certainly not what this passage is teaching. Remember, these are words spoken by the King, by the Lord Jesus himself. And he gives us a directive right at the start. He says, enter through the narrow gate. There's an easier alternative, Jesus is saying, and that's the wide gate. That one is wide. It's broad, he says. It's easy to travel. Explains that there are a great many heading that way. But the bad news is that way leads to destruction and eternal loss. The flip to the wide gate, the opposite is the narrow gate. This one is small. It's narrow. It's a difficult path to travel. Relatively few, Jesus says, are heading that way. But the good news is it leads to life, to everlasting life. talk about some characteristics of this narrow way. The Greek word used for narrow here is used for compressed and constricted spaces. Think of a tight mountain pass. Parallel passage in Luke 13, 24 says, strive to enter through the narrow door. And the Greek word to strive there means to struggle and to wrestle and to contend. And then verse 14 in Matthew 7 says that the way is narrow, but the word way literally means traveled road. And the word narrow literally means compressed and afflicted and hard-pressed. In other words, the journey might be difficult. There may be pressure. It may be affliction. There may be even tribulation on the narrow way. But the good news is that the destination is life. The Greek word zoe, which means a life with God that is eternal and vibrant in quality. Remember John 10, verse 10 says, I came, Jesus said, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And that is the fruit of the narrow way. Contrast that with the broad road, literally ruin and loss and destruction. And the sad reality, as Jesus teaches, is that few choose the narrow way. The wide one is compelling. The wide one is seductive. And frankly, the wide one is just plain easier. What's the saying? Don't follow the crowd. They're lost too. So, dear baptismal candidates, congratulations. You have found the gate. You've chosen the path that leads to life. A life that is both vibrant and meaningful and purposeful and joyful and abundant in the here and now, but is also an everlasting, reconciled, redeemed life heading into eternity. And in just a few minutes, we'll be celebrating that new life as we dunk you down deep into that water. We're going to be pleased today. It's a bit hot and stuffy in here. Time for a dip. We're going to be washing away the old, and we're going to be raising you up into the new. Now, the metaphor in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that I read at the beginning contains two elements. First of all, there's a gate that you must pass through. And secondly, there's a way that you must choose to travel. So looking at those two, the first one, the question I guess is, what is that gate? Or perhaps I should say, who is that gate? The answer, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the gate. John chapter 10, we just read verse 10 a moment ago. The verse just before that, verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. That's how Jesus always started when he was going to say something important and hard-hitting. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. You know, the primary reality in life, in the world, is that the only gateway to salvation is Christ Jesus. And as I say that, the world gasps. How dare you? So narrow-minded. And they're quite right. We have to be narrow-minded because it's a narrow gate. But that gate is the only way to eternal life. How can you Christians say that? The answer is we didn't. Jesus did. John 14, verse 6, you know this verse. I am, Jesus said, I am. And that's a striking way to start a sentence if you know your Old Testament theology. I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here we go. No one can come to the Father except through me. And at the risk of patronizing you slightly, does anyone need me to explain what it's meant by the expression no one? Okay, good. I'm glad we got that established. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. See, Jesus doesn't offer this gate as one of many paths. It's singular and exclusive. Christ himself is the gate, and there is no other way. Amen. So that's the first kind of part of this metaphor, the narrow gate that we must pass through into salvation. And the second element of this metaphor is that Jesus is a narrow road that you must choose to take. And, dear baptismal candidates, you have chosen that path. Well done. We are extremely proud of you. But you know what? This comes with a bit of a caveat, what we might call a health warning. That road is difficult. Matthew 7:14, small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to life, and there are few who find it. Folks, I cannot promise you champagne and chocolates. I cannot promise you a canopied bridal way of roses. The journey ahead. As Nat King, remember that Nat King Cole song? There may be trouble ahead. John 16:33, Jesus said this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, he said, I have overcome the world. So the road is going to be difficult. It might get a little bit rocky. And if that is the case, I have for you three items that you'll be well advised to take with you on the journey. And this, I guess, is my takeaway for you and indeed for you. You can listen in too if you like. Three items, and I have some of them represented. You wonder what this is all about, the things I threw on the floor earlier. So the first one, the first one is a compass. And a compass represents, we've also got some up here, represents the word. Psalm 119, verse 105, famous verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, the journey ahead, some of you are frightfully young. The journey ahead is long and winding. You are going to need a perfectly calibrated compass to show you the way. And of course, Jesus used the word as his compass. Think about Jesus in the wilderness. His answer for everything that the enemy threw at him was what? It is written. Do you know what? The word must be your reference point for truth. The word must be how you cut through all the noise and distraction. The word must be the primary influence in your decisions. So learn its principles and capture its heartbeat and obey its imperatives. And if you do that, you won't stray too far from that narrow path. The second thing I think you need on a long and winding journey is a good pair of shoes. Now, I apologize, I haven't brought you all a pair of shoes. That would have been one step too far, I think. Ephesians 6:15, this is in that passage about the whole armor of God. And Paul writes this, he says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. On rough and narrow terrain, you need to have the right footwear. And the gospel of peace is what gives us a firm footing. It's what gives us the ability to hang in there when the going gets tough. Just three key words in that little verse that I just read. The first word is the word peace. It's the Greek word. It represents that hugely important Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom means wholeness and completeness and fullness. Shalom is harmony and health and reconciled relationship. Shalom is a deep inner peace, emotional stability, and well-being. The second word there that I want to highlight is the word gospel. The reality is such peace, shalom peace that I've just described, can only be found in one place, and that is in Jesus Christ. And the third word there is the word readiness. What did it say? Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I reckon if you're going to take a long journey, readiness is a really important factor. And when I ponder this word, readiness, I'm thinking of the work that you do in private first, in the secret place. It's kind of the business that you do with the Lord. Under the deep, penetrating, healing, powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit. As you seek to find the wholeness and the maturity and the healing that will undergird your journey along this narrow and difficult path. So number one, compass representing the word. Number two is a good pair of shoes. And the number three thing that you're definitely going to need on your walk, you guessed it, is a drink of water. And water, as we know in the Bible, is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. John 4, verse 13 says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give, talking about the Holy Spirit, will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You know, no one survives the journey without water. And no Christian walks the narrow way without the indwelling presence and power of God the Holy Spirit. See, like natural water to your flesh, the Holy Spirit refreshes your soul, revives and renews, strengthens and sustains. Like life-giving water to thirsty soil, the Holy Spirit stimulates growth and cultivates character and facilitates the bearing of fruit. That Holy Spirit water cleanses wounds, that heals hurts, and washes away impurities. And the Holy Spirit guides and inspires, he comforts and empowers, especially when you're weary. In other words, to successfully walk the narrow way, you are going to need regular, long, deep drinks of the water of the Spirit. And I have these items to present to you at the end. Don't go without them because I will forget, I promise. Okay, pretty much done. Just leave you with two challenges, I guess. And the first one is this. Which road are you on? There are only two. Only two. Jesus said, few find it. Not because it's hidden, but because it's narrow and hard. Because it requires humility and it requires surrender. So my advice to all of you today would be to examine your heart and choose today to enter through the narrow gate. Not tomorrow, not one day, but choose that gate today. Challenge number one. And then challenge number two, really a question for everyone to take to the Lord. And this number one, am I carrying my compass or have I left it at home? These days we call it a sat-nav. Am I carrying my compass, or am I navigated by my feelings, or by popular opinion, or by my entrenched stubbornness? Question number one, am I carrying my compass? Question number two is, do I have the right shoes on my feet? Because trust me, if you don't, it's going to be a really uncomfortable, long, and painful journey. Is my footing grounded in gospel peace and gospel truth? Or have I slipped off the rock and onto the sand? And then number three, no great surprise, are you drinking the refreshing, renewing, energizing, empowering water of the Holy Spirit? Or are you spiritually dehydrated? Are you trying to walk alone in your own strength without all that the Holy Spirit offers? I invite the worship team to come forward. I'm going to pray, and then we'll kind of start getting, we're starting to get excited, aren't we, team? I can tell, particularly Morgan, she's very excited. Let's pray. Why don't you stand, stretch your legs, a bit clammy and hot in here today. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you came and you made a way. You made a way where there was no way. We were lost. We were going around in circles. We were stuck in the wilderness. But you made a way for us to find life and salvation and wholeness. In fact, more than that, you didn't just make a way, you made the way. You said, I am the way. And Lord, we in this room are so excited today that our five wonderful baptismal candidates have found that way. That they have accepted you as their Savior. They have invited you to become their Lord, and they have walked through that gate. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful for that. But we also read in that passage, it's a bit of a difficult, narrow path, and there are easier ways, and there are compromising ways, and there are seductive ways. You said, Lord, the narrow way isn't necessarily going to be easy, but we don't walk alone. Lord, we have your word. We have the gospel. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for our five baptismal candidates, but in fact for all of us, that that would become so real to each one of them, that they would never leave those three items out of the backpack that they carry, that your word would be the compass that guides them, that the gospel piece would be the shoes that carries them on the journey, and Holy Spirit, you would be the water that they drink to sustain and encourage and enliven them every step of the way. And Lord, we pray that for all of us. And if we've allowed any of those three items to slip out of our backpack, Lord, we just repent. Say, Lord, remind us. And Lord, today we commit to pop them backing in and taking them with us on that narrow walk. Thank you, Jesus. We know that we are only where we are because of you. We know that we could not have done it ourselves. It would have been utterly impossible. We were all lost in our sin. We were all incapable of providing our own way. But you came and you died and you rose again to open up that gate to give us life. What can we do but give you thanks and give you glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the plan is like this. The parents, if you'd like to go and get your kids...